1, PBH, Kilo 1, Alpha Bravo Hotel, listening.
CVA Mobile.
CVA, K1, ABH.
ADH, I believe, KB4, CPA, name is David. Good morning.
Just small correction, it was ABH, Alpha Bravo Hotel. Get that all the time, it's all right. Andrew, I'm down in Anderson.
Andrew, sorry about that. Yeah, I get Charlie Papa Alpha a lot, like CPA, like Certified Public Accountant. But anyway, I almost sounded like a P that time when I said my call the first time. It sounded like a P to myself. I thought I need to be a little more articulate and watch my enunciation.
When I first got my license, which hadn't been long, it was back in July, and I thought I'd never remember my original call, and so I applied for a vanity, some with my initials in it, and then by the time I got it, my original call just kind of rolled off the tongue, and so I kind of regretted getting a vanity. So I actually have applied, and hopefully we'll be getting it back in a couple days, but I applied to get my original call back.
Well, you know, I'd like to have a shorter call, just like a 1x2 or something. It's just easier when you're doing contests and stuff. You know, having to rattle off KB4 CPA, and if you do it phonetically, it's probably 10 people that have already given their call before you get through.
Said it, there was a handful of reasons why I decided to switch back, and like I say, the one character shorter, which I don't know CW, and it's probably going to be a while before I learn it, but I was talking to somebody on here one night, and they were saying that apparently if you do CW, my original call would kind of be super easy to do with CW versus my newer one, despite being one character shorter. Apparently the old one is a lot easier.
That can be true as well. It just depends on, you know, if you do a lot of CW or if you're like me, I'm a sideband voice most of the time, and it's where you'll find me. I'm on the HF. And, so anyway, just really hadn't gotten into FT8, and doesn't appeal to me, even though my radio is capable, and, I have the computer program, I just, haven't hooked them up.
Like that to a degree, but a few steps back even, I hadn't got to the point where I'm ready to move on to HF and get my general, the tech stuff. With the limited time I have, it keeps me busy enough as it is. And just kind of, I want to learn the basics before I move on and take bigger steps. So I'm definitely with you there. I think a lot of the stuff that you don't get interested in now will eventually come. But yeah, I'm just trying to take it one step at a time because it is certainly drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah, there's so many aspects of ham radio, and you know, and it makes it nice because you can pick and choose what you like, and you know, not everybody likes the same thing. So, and that's just what makes it nice. It's just, I mean, gosh. There's just so much going on, and you know. So anyway, and I hear people talking about satellite and other things, and you know, and I'm just like, okay, you know. But it's nice just to listen, because you pick up some things and learn stuff that way.
Like I say, it took me, I got kind of started back in January, but didn't get around to getting my license until July, so I had done a lot of research and a lot of learning up until then, so, but when it came time to actually get my hands on stuff and start setting up antennas and then learning grounded, man, that was a beast. Like I say, I don't really have a whole lot of people here local to, that I know to get into teach them how to do stuff. So, man, I just had to stay in books and stay online and learn all I can. And, man, I almost gave up on it with the whole learning grounding thing. So, yeah, it's a lot to learn.
Hi, a couple of houses ago, I had a 56-foot tower and a Roan tower. And now, when I put that thing up, I think it was in the 90s, and I sat it down in a 3x3x3 hole that I dug and filled it, and, you know, set a partial section that I bought down in there, and poured the concrete in, you know, flush with the ground, so that tower wasn't going anywhere. And but I didn't have any HF antennas. I had a HF rig. It was an Alinco, and so I used to tune around on it a little bit, but without an antenna, I really couldn't pick up much, because all I did on that one was that radio was 6 meters most of the time, and then I had a 2 meter mobile rig that I used in the shack, and I did that for a long time. And then I think that Alinco, well, I sold it when we moved into an HOA. That's what happened. Yeah, got rid of it.
I'm thankful about is I don't have that daunting thing to worry about, because I hear a lot of horror stories. So fortunately, my neighborhood doesn't care, and if they did care, they have no say so.
I had a little help, and I have a Carolina Wyndham in the trees in the backyard. I have 4 trees right on my line in the backyard, right in a row, and so that's where my Carolina Wyndham is, and I'm in a HOA, and they don't know it's there. The guy behind me asked me what it was. I said, oh, it's just a sensor for my security system.
Shame on you, Dave. N0TR.
Well, he was being nosy. He doesn't even live in my neighborhood. He's in another subdivision.
This is N0TR. And it doesn't hurt a darn thing anyways. I'm on your side. Oh, it's a beautiful morning. I just got confirmation of a new country down here, Dave, that I hadn't worked before from here. I'd worked them several times from Kansas, but I got the Philippines, and Bob, I texted him about it at the time, and he also worked the Philippines, and boy, I just about stretched my Carolina Wyndham out. Go ahead and take it, KB4ABF, if I remember rightly. Andrew, this is Tom in 0TR.
K1ABH, and yeah, I think we may have walked on each other there for a little bit. I didn't catch a lot of what you said, but I'm actually going to step aside for a second. I'll let y'all take it for a second. I got somebody calling me on the Anderson repeater here, so I'm going to see what they got going on and reach back out to them.
Okay, Andrew. Anyways, nice to hear you this morning. And Dave, you looking at getting a new 998?
Is that, I can't find a 998. I find a a 998B, but it's only 600 watts. I was looking for 800. And, so, anyway, I don't know. It's like, I guess I just don't know what I'm looking at. But I can read. So I don't know, Tom. What I was going to tell you is two nights ago, I checked into the sideband net, and after the net, I jumped down. I heard somebody on 40, I think, say something about 10 meters, and I jumped down 10 meters, and it was just hopping. And I heard a guy from Japan on 10 meters, and just as I was getting ready to throw my call out, he says, I got to go, guys. And I said, I got to go to QRT. He said, he was just wore out, and I guess he'd been doing it for hours, and he was, and I don't know what time it was over there in Japan, but anyway, so I didn't get to make contact with him, but I got his call and, you know, looked it up and everything. So, man, I was excited. He was coming in good.
This is Gerald T.R. Yeah, 10 meters was hopping the other day. And, you know, it's a band I never did pay any attention too much, Dave, up in Kansas. Shame on me, because you could have worked it. It's about the easiest of all when the sunspots are up. And there's lots and lots and lots of Japanese hams, by the way. And so I got on there and just finished out my DXCC on 10 meters during that contest, just for the heck of it. I had 99 for years now, and I think I had 97, then it went to 99. And I thought, well, you might as well finish that out. And that makes me 8 DXCCs. You only got one to go, and that'd be 160, and I just never did care much for 160 meters. But I might try it this winter. It's a winter band only, and it's just no good in the summer. And I got 57 countries on it, I think. But I was happy to get my 8-band DXCC. And I had never applied for but one for CW and one for sideband years ago. But down here, the guys got me interested. So I went ahead and applied for it. But I worked... And some of these were real easy, but they were on sideband, and I rarely worked sideband. But I worked Italy, Germany, Luxembourg. No, that was on 40. Isle of Man on 10. That's over there, kind of between England out in the channel and that. Spain, let's see, Italy, Puerto Rico, French Guiana, Uruguay, which is easy. North and South America is easy usually. Portugal on 10 CW. Just some of the few. Dominica, Puerto Rico, Anguilla. Just for the fun of it, just to make it pop over that end of the hundreds, and I got that. But that one to the Philippines was on 15 meter CW. He's hard to get because he'll pop in here for a very short time. And on CW usually only. But I know him because he's an American, and I've worked him before, I'm sure. But that was exciting because, and no brag at all, because I never did count countries that much, but I got 300, so it's hard to get new ones, you know. It was like Bob said, he was tickled to death. He hadn't had an all-time new one in a whole year, Dave. But yeah, that's an MFJ998, and it's good for 1,500 watts. Bill's got two of them in 4IQ. That says enough for me right there, somebody like that, and that's why I got mine.
Well, and I found, I think it was a Meritron. I can't remember the model number, but it was it's a tube amp. It's 800 watts. Let's see. So, you know, I'm I'm seriously thinking about taking the plunge because there was, there's been several people. I've been getting, like, you know, 5x9, and then they can't hear me. I would go back to them several times, and there was nobody, you know, to compete with, and they couldn't hear me. So I said, dang.
Well, the sunspots there the other day was up to around 100. I was surprised. They've been really fluctuating a lot, but it's been zero for so long. So when those come back, you'll be able to work them on the guttering on the side of your house, Dave. I didn't have an amplifier for 19 years. All I had was my TS-140 Kenwood, and I worked way over 250 countries. And so that gives you an idea. You will be able to do it. But the amplifier is a good crutch. I highly dissuade you from buying a tube amplifier. It takes time to tune one of these days, and it might be a long ways off. I don't know. Those tubes are not going to be available. The other thing is they got filaments. They make heat. Heat destroys components next to them. Save your pennies and buy the Ameritron 600-watt one, and it's excellent. I got the next one up from that, but it's not at all necessary. 600 watts is really great. And to take my word for it, after 27 years of doing this, the transistor one is the way to go. They're MOS, field effect transistors. My amplifier has 200 of them, two of them built into it, but you don't need to spend that much money. I had a little bit of extra at that time, and so I went ahead and got rid of my old tube amp. Lost money on it, but I got rid of it, and it was a great amp, but it had 2, 3, 500 Cs. They're as big as your hand spread out wide, but it's automatic band switching, which is a big thing. Did you ever get on sideband? You hear wee, and it goes up and down. That's these idiots that instead of moving off a few KCs and tuning up, they tune up on the DX's frequency. And that's what you have to do with a tuner and the tube amp every time. So I highly recommend waiting and getting the Ameritron. I don't know what the number is, but you've seen it, the 600-watt one. Yes, I'm sure it's a little more money, but it'll last you the rest of your life, Dave.
Well, that see, you're talking about solid state, and that's fine with me. I don't mind spending a little more money.
It'll switch bands automatically. I haven't looked at that one in a while, but I think it does. From 6 meters through 160, it might just be 10 to 160. But at any rate, it's a great amplifier. Mine does 10 through 160. The one Bill bought last time does 6 meters through 160, but it's quite a bit more money. And I don't have an interest in 6 meters and probably never will. It's a band that is here and then it's gone. They call it the magic band. And it's good when you have ionized clouds and tropospheric ducting and I can't think of all the highfalutin terminology. And it's great and it's something to do. I'm not dissuading you from it. But it's just not there a lot, so I've been told by many, many years. But at any rate, I think you'd be far better off buying the solid state one.
Got him some more. I'm not in any big hurry. I mean, it's not like I gotta have one today or something, you know. So anyway. So I played tennis this morning, and my wife texted me and wants me to come over to the mother-in-law's house. Of course, she's not there. She's staying with my wife's older sister and her husband, and we're trying to get her house ready to sell. And so she wants a cabinet that's at the house, and she needs somebody to help load it. So guess who gets to help?
Well, if she's looking for somebody with a weak mind and a strong back, she made the right choice. Look at it that way.
I got both. Oh, man, can't be for CPA. Yep. In fact, I hurt my back putting a piece of furniture in that house, that same house. It was a huge computer desk, and I don't know what all it had, but it had this big door that opened up at the bottom, and it was the length of the desk, and it was a big old thing, and then it went all the way up to the ceiling, and I don't know what it weighed, but I dare say it weighed, you know, probably 250 pounds or more, and there was three of us pulling it up the steps, and I was on the hand trucks, and I got the worst end of it. And man, I felt something pull in my back, and it started burning, and that's all it took. And so I've got a pinched nerve or a bulging disc, that's what it is. But anyway, I just had to put up with it.
From experience, that is not funny. Bernice had back surgery. Don't do it, only as a last resort would be her recommendation. Isn't that right, Bernice?
That's right.
She almost died, Dave. She got blood clots and scared me to death. But my back hurts every day, and there's no changing it. It's just the way it is. But you know, ironically, I got a shot in that shoulder that I knocked out a joint 2 inches years ago, back about in the year 2000, I guess. And they gave me a shot of cortisone here. And I didn't have to take near the medication for my back as I had for at least the last 5 or 6 days. I was tickled to death. I didn't realize that a shot of that in my back would help my back, but oh my, it did until yesterday when I mowed grass, and that really joshed me around, you know, when I do that. I just had to do the backyard, but it bangs me around, so last night was pretty bad, and yesterday afternoon wasn't good, but I enjoy it. What the heck? We're going to go get some rocks here down at Lowe's, so I better let you go. Nice hearing you this morning. Nice hearing, I think that was Andrew, wasn't it? But at any rate, I enjoyed visiting with him. I was thinking of the guy that was a sheriff's officer, and so I guess maybe I'm off track or something. You'll have to fill me in. I'll let you go. And you have a nice day, and great talking to you. Come over here and sit down and work this some evening, whenever you want to, and I'll show you how those things work together. Talk to you, the radios I'm talking about, and I think you'd enjoy. I might even convert you to a CW man, which is the best form of propagation. 73's name. KB4CBA in 0TR. Clear. What's your final?
All right. Well, I won't be able to come today. I'm playing tennis again tonight. At 6. And so I'll have to eat an early supper and then go and warm up a little bit. But anyway. going. The sun's out, and looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. We've reached 60 degrees, at least my car says we have. And so you have a good one, and enjoy the sunshine, and get you some rocks. I lost my marbles. But anyway, and 0TR, KB4CBA, mobile.
KB4OIM. Good morning, Dave.
What are you doing?
Thinking on about this time tomorrow, drove an hour before now. I'll be in the eye clinic getting the cataract took off of my right eye this time tomorrow, Dave.
Left eye doing good from the surgery.
It's like daylight and dark. I've been so confused that I've been wearing bifocals about 15 years. And my left eye, right now, I'd say it's 20/20. But still wearing my glasses till they get the right eye done. My left eye was the one that was the worst. And after they do this right eye tomorrow, I don't believe I'm going to have to wear glasses anymore, Dave.
It's really interesting because the eye doctor gave me a prescription and I've been wearing glasses. I went and got it filled, and I tell you, I took them off one day, and I could see better with them off than I could with them on.
Right now, I can take my glasses off and cover my right eye and everything. I can see perfectly bright, sharp images, and if I put my glasses back on, everything's blurry in that left eye. I was going to take one of the lens out of my glasses over my left eye. These are molded into the frame, and I was afraid I was going to break them. And they told me 2 weeks ago when I went back for my checkup, he said, well, wait till we get this right eye done, because you may not need glasses at all when we get through with you. So that's what I'm hoping for. Dave, did you get an answer to that email that you sent me?
Appreciate it. I was kind of interested in that 2 meter amp you had, but evidently you've already sold it. But I appreciate you sending me that information.
No, I hadn't sold that amp yet. I forgot about having the thing. I got down here in my shack, tore out a wall in what used to be the kitchen, and built me a workbench over there where I could get my operating desk cleaned off. And lo and behold, there was that 2 meter amp. I've had that thing about a year, I guess. I've got it to go in my truck, but I just never used it. But I've still got it. I was told 5 in will get you 75 out. But on the back of it, of the amp, it's got a plate back there that said 10 in will get you 80 out. So I don't know. I know it works because it was demonstrated to me when I bought it. I bought it from O'Herb up there in Shelby. When I bought that CED rotator and control box. And I've still got it if you're interested in it.
Can you email me a picture of it or or the model number so I can look it up and how much you want for it.
Hold on just a second. Good thing. me get off of here, Steve. I got to run down here to the bank at Inman. And man says they BB&T merged with SunTrust. They got my account all messed up. I can't even use my debit card now, so I got to run down here and get that took care of. And I'll say 7-3 is on your panel there, Steve. K4BWA, K4OIM.
People out there, Walt. There's plenty of crazies out there on the road, just like on the radio. You take it easy, bud, and be safe out there. K4OIM, KN4BWA, clear. DJW, KN4BWA.
KN4VWA, W4DJW.
Carrying gleefully into that monitor.
I had the volume down too low. I could barely hear you. Say that again. I turned the volume up.
Are you staring gleefully into that monitor still?
So I ordered the balsa last night. 10 strips of 4 inches by 48 inches by 1/8 inch. That will make 2 wings, plus I have some left over. You get 2, 4, so you get 8 out of a plank. You got 10 planks. You need 16 per side. So 4 of them will build a wing, and I got 6 extra. I looked around for balsa wood prices and found that one. The site that I pulled it from last night had the lowest price I've seen in a long time on balsa wood. They were like $5 a sheet, $5.60 or something like that. Very, very cheap.
Get it from?
I got an email from them. I have to go look it up. But I looked. I was hunting, so I don't remember exactly which one it was. I was hunting at several of them. I don't have them memorized yet. But next time I need balsa wood, that's where I'll go. Let me go look it up. I'll tell you. It's called AK Model. AK Models Company. Balsa Wood Inc. AK Models Company. Really good price. I had already had another shopping cart loaded up with the same quantity of wood at $9 a sheet. And I canceled that, cleared out that cart, and came over to this one.
KN4BWA. Well, that's good. That's good. So, hey. You know that little video that Ollie took last night?
Yeah, that was neat. That's pretty cool. Is that what you were seeing in the sky from your house every now and then when they were night flying?
No, this is something new. He hasn't had this but about a couple of months. And it's called a Hobby Zone Radiant. If you're in front of your computer, open up a page and pull up Hobby Zone and look up Radion, R-A-D-I-O-N.
I did a lot of research on a Radion. I was going to buy one, but there's another company that had a 2600 glider, 22.6 meters, and I got that one instead of the Radion, but I was really close. I mean, it was a toss-up, so I know the Radion inside and out. Plus, I saw a guy down at WCRC flying one, which is one of the reasons I looked into it.
Ollie says it's a great flyer, but you got to have a very large open space to fly it. And he flew it at my, well, comparatively open space. And he flew it at my house last night. And that thing was cool. I mean, you know, the lights are sequential and change color. And everything else in the book, you can change colors and patterns and just everything in the book. The thing's unreal. So anyhow, he flew it at my house and did just fine. And but he was trying to fly it at his house, and he says it's just too close in at his house to fly it. So the only way he can go out and fly anything at night is to go to one of the fields. So he let me I bought that airplane this morning for $175 with a brand new battery.
The Radion? You have a Radion?
It is used.
Oh, wow, that's cool. They do take some They do take some distance to land, though. You don't want to land them too hot. They will come in really, really hot if you're not careful. Did he? I saw him walking out from the high hay over there, for lack of a better word. Did he run into the hay?
To land it, and I mean, he put it down at the far end of my field, and I mean, with the throttle cut and propellers folded back, it's still, I mean, 6 or 8 feet off the ground. It did the whole length of my runway without settling in. So he took it back around, and he started out, and he tried to go as far as the house and bring it in that way, and I told him just let it settle into the tall grass, and that won't hurt it a bit. So he let it settle into the tall grass, and it just kind of pancaked in. It didn't hurt it in any way, shape, or form. He says, that grass is good.
That's how I remember the Radian. Those things, they're made for gliding, slope soaring, or just, you know, freestyle gliding through thermals. They're good airplanes. You just have to have a lot of space to land them. You got to make sure our runway over there at Foothills would be plenty of space, because you could just let it go and go and go and go. You might have a lot of walking to do, but at least you wouldn't break anything. Oh, that's cool. I never did get one. I got a 2600 FTP glider that's kind of similar, but doesn't glide that far before it can land. It's got a mid-engine pusher that's up above the fuselage. But the thing I didn't like, once I started flying it, I didn't like it because the fuselage was too flexible. You could see the tail wiggling behind the wing when you were coming in for a landing. That just made me nervous.
Okay. All right. That aerodynamically, that's got to create some fine control issues, doesn't it?
That's why it made me nervous. That's the 2600, not the Radian. The Radian does fine. The Radian's high-speed bird. It doesn't do that. But I'm wishing now that I had got the Radian instead of that that other one. But I'm thinking I got some graphite spars that I was just going to sink a little groove into each side of the fuselage and epoxy some graphite spars down through there. And that'll solve that problem permanently. And it doesn't cost much, and it doesn't add much weight at all. But just haven't never got around to it. I got two or three foam airplanes like that I bought that for one reason or another I didn't like that I never take out to the airfield. I need to go ahead and work on. But today I'm building, I'm getting the rib templates off of the sheets of wood that the ribs came out of for the Telemaster, and building them in CAD model. And it's taken a little while.
You're taking it apart, aren't you?
No, he left the sheets of 1/8 balsa that the ribs popped out of. He left them in the box. So I got one of those, and I cut it down real small and put it on my scanner bed, and scanned it in. And then I played around with it in one of the drawing tools to get the scale just right, and then I imported it into the CAD tool, and in the CAD tool I just digitized the whole profile of the rib, and it's a straight wing, there's not multiples. And now I'm going through there, so the plan, so long that was made a long, long time ago. That was made, the Telemaster was popular back in the 70s and 80s, so they didn't have CAD back then, or they did, but it was so expensive nobody that built airplanes could use it. So you could see in the drawing where they messed up. That's not real good. So I'm cleaning that up. In other words, the spars aren't perpendicular to, or they're not tangent to the arc across the top of the curve where they fit. They're kind of skewed. So it's taken me a while to clean all of that up to get a really clean rib template. And then by the time I get that all cleaned up, the balsa wood all, and I'm going to hollow them out too to make them lighter weight on the trailing edge, the backside of the center of gravity, because there's a lot of wood in there that's not doing anything, right? You don't need all that wood. And plus, it's kind of neat to be able to get down through there if you want to put like a air speed sensor or something like that. You've got a hole through the ribs that you can feed the tubing through.
Like that? I just think there would be a market for it. You know, Like I said, if you figured out the right motor and battery combination and did all that work, and, man, I just think there would be a market for it.
There is, absolutely, there's a market for it. And what I could do instead of the work that I'm doing right now is go up to Skyland, North Carolina, and pick up a kit for $300 that's got everything in it that's been laser cut. Somebody else, you're absolutely right, there's a market for it. Somebody else not too far from us, right, that's within an hour's drive, has the senior Telemaster kit. He's also got a super-sized Telemaster, a 12-foot wingspan, a big one. I saw some videos on that yesterday when I came across that one I sent you with the night flying on the Telemaster. There's also a 12-foot one that I came across yesterday that I was watching. Now, that would haul up some junk up in the sky. Air, cameras, infrared, LIDAR, that would be nice. But that, I don't think my little Toyota pickup would haul all of that airplane. I think it's just too much.
You're right. I mean, at a 6-foot wingspan, I mean, how many foot wingspan?
It's a 12-foot. And I came across another guy that built 2 8-foot wings and put them together. He had a 16-foot Telemaster. You're getting into, there are full-scale planes. That Quickie that I've got, that Burt Rutan Quickie Canard, it's a 4-foot wingspan, and it's exactly a quarter-scale model. So the full scale of that Canard is a 16-foot wingspan. And this guy was flying a Telemaster with a 16-foot wingspan, 2 8-foot wings. Or he just built them together and made one enormous airplane.
Well, you need a pickup truck the size of my Ram to haul the 2 6-foot wings in there, bud. And that's on the 12-footer. Great day. Yeah, but you know, that's... You really don't need anything that big, do you?
No, and that... Well, here's the thing. The bigger the airplane, the more efficient it's going to be at lower speeds with less weight. The lifting capability of the square foot of wing area is not linear. It's a curve, and it goes up. It skyrockets. It's not tangential, but it goes up pretty quick. It's so therefore. You get one of those big ones like that, you could haul equipment. We might run at the size that we're thinking about doing this, we might run into a point where we're adding so much weight to it that it no longer will stay up 4 or 5 hours. And then we have to think about a bigger airplane. But you know, who knows? I mean, you don't know if you don't try, right?
What you mean? Well, listen, if I had enough space in the fuselage cavity, do you think I could get that Radian to autonomous?
I've seen where people have done gliders before. It's a challenge. You'd have to look at probably a different flight controller, not the Pixhawk. And you know, one of those 740, those really fast processors that cost less than a Pixhawk. I only use Pixhawks because that's what I'm familiar with. I need to get outside of my comfort zone and play around with one of those other ones. But you've got to, they don't load Arduino as easily. They will run Arduino, but you've got to do some manipulation to get them to load the firmware on there. And then you've got to load a bootloader first. And then you use that bootloader to get the firmware on it. And it's kind of tricky. But there's YouTube videos that show you how to do it. And they're like $40 instead of $118. Or $47 instead of $118. But there's also some I saw this morning where the Cube 2, which is the next generation Pixhawk, the generation I'm using is old. The next generation came down in price significantly. So I don't know. That's why I was telling you, you need to read that Arduino plane and just do video searching on YouTube, gliders, because that one guy, that RC test flight, the kind of guy that I told you about, he did autonomous flight with a He did autonomous slope soaring, and the thing flew itself, and it wasn't sucking up any power at all. It was just out there. It could have soared all day long. It was fine. They have the capability to find a thermal and stick with it, follow the thermal. So, yeah, you can do it. You just got to, it takes a lot of work to figure out which ones you need and how you got to set it up. W4DJW.
Well, as soon as I get past this house, I'm going to be all up in there. So, listen, I'm over here at Charlie's Barbecue on Pelham, and we're fixing to go in and have lunch, so I got to jump. All the guys are going in. I will talk to you again soon, and as soon as I get my hands on that radium, maybe we can go play a little bit one evening. So, 73s, K4, VWA, clear MQ final.
Okay. That's good timing. I need to make a call. When you get a chance, well, never mind. I'll tell you later. Go ahead and enjoy lunch. Talk to you later. KM4VWA, W4DJW, clear.